This is the second sermon that I'm going to preach to you and teach to you from the eighth commandment, thou shalt not steal. And previously, when we considered the eighth commandment, we had listed some of the reasons we are so inclined to take what is not ours, which we haven't earned. First of all, we said we are naturally inclined to steal because it is so easy for us to take things that don't belong to us. And we are sinners. And when an opportunity comes up, we take things that we think that no one's going to notice that we took them, or no one's going to know that we're the one who took the thing. And secondly, we steal things because we don't believe that God is going to provide this thing that I want. And we know that God will provide for us, but we want to help God out when the circumstances arise, when we think that God wants us to have it, so he has given us an occasion to take something that doesn't belong to us. And so, because I think I deserve it, because God has given me an opportunity to take it, I think providentially I should be taking that thing that I haven't earned and that is not mine and it belongs to somebody else. And thirdly, we have a covetous attitude. And we will consider what that means when we discuss the 10th commandment together. Fourthly, Satan entices us to steal. We are tempted to steal by the devil. In some ways, Satan is a contrarian. A contrarian is a person who always thinks the opposite of what you think. And Satan knows God's laws and commandments. And he desires that we don't keep those laws and commandments, but that we do the opposite of what God wants us to do. And so if God says, do not steal, Satan says, steal whatever you want. In fact, Satan says, plan to steal things. When you're doing your homework, copy the answers from somebody else. When you're working on the job place, slack off. Don't work so hard. If you're filling in an expense report, pad the expense report. Satan tells you, if there's something on the job site that no one's using and you could use it, take it home. If you're a businessman, you're trying to measure something out, measure a little light. Satan says, if you're a financial guy, think of a way where you can falsify the records for somebody. Take somebody's money. The whole Ponzi schemes that we have seen were because people wanted to steal money. All these things are loved by Satan. Satan encourages us to break God's law. Satan is a contrarian. He wants us to do what is contrary to what God wants us to do. But there are times when we've stolen something. We might not even really known that we stole something until later when we thought about it. We said, you know, I really stole something. And you might have cheated on your income tax a little. Or done something else where you wasted time of somebody. You actually stole their time because of how you behaved. You were late. You were whatever. And so what is the Christian to do when they realize they've stolen something? Or if you actually were tempted by Satan and did steal something, and now you have repented of that sin and you want to make it right, what is a Christian to do? And to answer this question, I want to look at a man who responded to Jesus when Jesus was there and confronted him with his sin of dishonesty and thievery. And we read in Luke 19 a story about Zacchaeus. And you know about Zacchaeus. He was that man who was short. And then he decided, in order to see Jesus, who came to his town, which was Jericho, that he would climb a tree. And he would look down upon the crowd to see Jesus. And we read that in Luke 19, Zacchaeus was trying to see who Jesus was. So he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree in order to see him, for he, that is Jesus, was about to pass through that way. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him. And so Zacchaeus, he just wanted to see what was going on. Jesus came to him. Jesus focused on Zacchaeus. And he looked at Zacchaeus, and here's what he said. Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for today I must stay at your house. When Jesus invites himself to somebody's house, you don't turn Jesus away. It's just like a Christian before he became a Christian. When God set his eyes upon that person, upon you, upon me, there was no turning back. If you were standing in the ocean and the tide was out and the tide started to come in, are you able to stand in that same place right at the edge of the water? No, the tide comes in. It starts to come upon you. You need to move with the tide. The tide is going to move you. And when God comes to you and says, I want to come to your house, it's like that tide coming in. You can't do anything about it. You are going to be overwhelmed with God. And he is going to take you with the tide where he wants you to go. The same with Zacchaeus. Jesus looked up to him and said, Zacchaeus, I'm going to stay in your house. Zacchaeus looked down at Jesus. And here's what we read. He hurried and came down and received him gladly. Zacchaeus knew what was happening. He was going to have a relationship with Jesus. He was glad about this. Now, Zacchaeus was a tax collector. At that time, tax collectors were corrupt. You wouldn't just collect the taxes you were supposed to collect. You collected more than the taxes you were supposed to collect, and you kept the difference. That's what Zacchaeus was. And so what happened to Zacchaeus once he was confronted by Jesus? He knew that he was a sinner. And he knew that there was a problem. He had been stealing from people. Now, Zacchaeus did two things. He repented of this act of stealing in two ways. First of all, he restored what had been stolen. He had gave restitution. But he didn't restore exactly what had been stolen. But he paid back four times the amount which had been stolen. We read, Behold, Lord, if I've defrauded anyone of anything, I will give back four times as much. Why would he give four times as much? Well, if we looked way back in Exodus, when Moses was expounding upon the law, Moses said, If you steal something, you have to restore four times as much. And then Moses gives a whole bunch of different instances on what you are to do if you stole something or you didn't intend to steal something, but you got it anyway and so on. So some situations you gave back two times as much, some four times as much, and there's one instance where you give five times as much as the original value of what it was that you had stolen. Zacchaeus had gave restitution plus, I would call it, four times as much as what he had taken. Restitution. And that's for us. If we've taken something, we need to restore what it was that we've taken plus more than what we had stolen. So the other thing that Zacchaeus did, He gave selflessly to the poor. He said, "Behold, Lord, half my possessions I will give to the poor." And why would he do that? What is that a sign of? Well, if someone came and had to pass by Zacchaeus and pay the tax. Now, he might have been at a point where you had to pay a toll because Jericho was a trading route. And there was a way of taxing all the merchants that came through Jericho. And that's most likely the role that Zacchaeus had. Well, wouldn't you go to that tax collector in fear and trembling because who knows what he's going to charge me? He always charges me way more than I think I should, but there's no way of getting around him. He's a corrupt tax collector. Zacchaeus gave half of what he had to the poor. What did that tell the people of the city? What would that tell all the merchants who passed through Jericho? It would tell them that Zacchaeus was a changed man. He just wasn't forced in giving back what he had stolen according to the Mosaic law, because that was the law. He also was showing the people that he was converted, because he took all of the money that he had, he divided it in half, and he dedicated half of it to help those unfortunate people who lived in his town. That would tell me that he was converted. He was a changed man. Zacchaeus made up for all that pain and suffering that people encountered when they came to visit him and pay their tax. Zacchaeus was transformed from being a dishonest tax collector to being an honest tax collector. He was transformed from being a selfish man to being a generous man. He was transformed from being a man of the world to a man who was centered on God. He was transformed from being condemned by God to being saved by God. He was transformed from being lost to being a man who was found by God. Zacchaeus was transformed. And so we, when we are caught in the sin of stealing, when we know that we have stolen something, are to restore what it was that we have stolen. And also we are to stand up and say, "I know that I was stolen. I want to show by my very actions that I am a person who's been changed by this. I understand that I have sinned, and now I repent of this sin. I want you to know that." Zacchaeus never said, he didn't ever sweep this under the carpet and say, "I wasn't really that bad of a stealer." No, he was very open about it. It's very clear we have a transformed man. So the question remains, how do I, as a Christian, make sure that I don't fall into the sin of stealing? Because sometimes there are occasions when there is a great temptation to steal something, because sometimes it's so easy for us to steal. Circumstances arise, and you may think of some that have come up recently in your own lives, where you had to resist that brief temptation to sin. And I would say there's four things that we can do in order to protect ourselves from falling into that temptation. And the first thing is by acting forthrightly. And how do we act forthrightly? First of all, we act forthrightly by being trustworthy with small things, so that they will lead to us being known as trustworthy with big things. And Jesus said this in Luke 16, "Who is faithful in a very little thing is faithful also in much, And he who is unrighteous in a very little thing is unrighteous also in much. Therefore, if you have not been faithful in the use of the unrighteous wealth, who will entrust true riches to you? Luke 16:10-11. And so what it is to practice being honest with small things. Practice being good at managing small things. People will recognize that. And you are practicing good behavior. The only way that we can become good at something is by practicing it. So I'm going to be faithful or forthright with these small things. And secondly, we act forthrightly when we display honesty, when we conduct business with other people. Jesus told tax collectors, don't collect no more than you're authorized to do. And he told soldiers, do not extort money from anyone who by threats and false accusations, and be content with your wages. From Luke 3:12-14. And so how do I protect myself from falling into the sin of stealing? By acting forthrightly. But secondly, how do I prevent myself from falling into the sin? It's by working faithfully. If we work hard enough, we will be able to meet the needs that we have. Plus, we will be able to meet the wants that we have. We read in Ephesians 4:28, he who steals must steal no longer, but rather he must labor, performing with his own hands what is good, so that he will have something to share with one who has need. And so we're talking about someone working with their hands that's able to provide for themselves, so much so that he's able to share something with others. And so if I work fruitfully, if I work in such a way where I have desired to work to take care of myself, take care of my family, take care of the stuff that I own, help support even in the church, in the community, and I am a fruitful worker, that's what God has wanted us to do. And when God placed Adam and Eve in the garden, he didn't place them there to go on a vacation. He placed them there to work. And so Adam and Eve, they worked in the garden. And after the fall, after they were kicked out of the garden, they had to work. But I would say that the work that they did in the garden compared to the work out of the garden had a different flavor to it. When they worked outside of the garden, that work was really hard. And it was difficult. And there were troubles. And it was tedious. And it was repetitious. It wasn't fun. But Adam and Eve still worked if they wanted to live. They had to support themselves. They had to live. They had a family. And as you know, they had a very extended family after a while. What we want is to be able to work so we can hit what I call the sweet spot. In Proverbs, we hear about this sweet spot. Listen to the words in Proverbs 30:8. This is what I would call the middle class proverb. It's what we would all desire. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food that is my portion, that I will not be full and deny you and say, who is the Lord? That I'm so rich that I don't need any God to help me out because I got plenty. Or that I not be in want and steal and profane the name of God. God didn't give me enough, so I'm stealing so I can live. He's talking about the middle class. Someone who isn't too rich, someone who isn't really poor. In the middle, this is a sweet spot. That's where God wants us to be. And how do we get there? by working fruitfully, by working and working enough that we have enough fruit so that we can live and have some surplus. That's the middle class proverb. We work fruitfully when we take what we've been given by God and use it to increase their value by working. We read about this in the parable of the talents. We read in Matthew 25, there's a story where Jesus gives a parable. And he says, there was a man who went on a long trip. And when the man went on a long trip, he brought three of his servants to him. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another he gave 2 talents, to one he gave 1 talent, according to their abilities. And you know the story, the one with the 5 talents, he invested that money and he made 10 talents. And the man with the 2 talents invested the money and he came back with 4 talents. And the one who had 1 talent, he dug a hole in the ground and hid it. And so when the man came back from his long trip, and the first man came and said, look, you gave me 5, but now I have 10. And the man who had 2 said, look, you gave me 2, and now I have 4. What was the response? Well, the master said this, you were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. And so it was a joyful thing for these men to take the talents that they had been given and to increase them and to build it up. That's a fruitful worker. But what happened to the one man who put it in the ground, was lazy, didn't work at it, didn't do a thing with it, basically? And when the master came back, he went over and dug it up out of the ground and said, here it is. I didn't know what to do with the thing. You wicked, lazy slave. That's what the master said. Throw out the worthless slave into the outer darkness. In that place, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. When God has given you the ability to work, the ability to take the talents that you've been given and to increase because of the talent you have been given, you are working fruitfully. You will be rewarded with the joy of being in God's presence. And the man who didn't take what he had been given and work with it, he was thrown to perdition. So we are told to work fruitfully. We've been told that we need to act forthrightly. We need to work fruitfully. But thirdly, we need to work faithfully. And what does this mean? It means that we're going to work consistently and we're going to work in such a way where we fit in to our society, whether it's in our neighborhood, in our place of business, in our church, wherever it is where we live. We read in 1 Thessalonians verse 4, verses 10 through 12, for indeed, make it your ambition to lead a quiet life and attend to your own business and work with your hands, just as we commanded you, so that you will behave properly toward outsiders and not be in any need. So by working faithfully, you will first of all tend to your own business. So your house is going to look like other people's houses. It's not going to stand out as being neglected because you're working faithfully on keeping your own property in place. And when you're in the job site, you are going to work faithfully at the job. You're not going to be that problem employee. You're not going to be that problem person on the job because you're working faithfully. You're doing what is expected. You're going to be tending to your business, what you need to do in order to live. And we see this promise so that you will not be in any need. And we also see the promise that you will be behaving properly towards outsiders. And so an outsider looking at you will see proper behavior because you are faithful in the way that you work. But secondly, we read in 2 Thessalonians 3:10, and even when we were with you, we used to give you this order. If anyone is not willing to work, then he is not to eat either. We are to take care of ourselves. We're not to depend on other people. So we tend to our own business and we take care of ourselves. And if ourselves means our extended family, if it means taking care of what it is that we've been given, we are to take care of ourselves and not depend upon others. That is what we mean by working faithfully. And that is going to protect us from wanting to steal something from somebody else so that we can have all the things that we want. We are to work faithfully. And lastly, we are to act favorably toward others. There's something that always comes up in the Christian life and in the Christian church, is that even though we have as our primary concern to maintain our relationship with God, and that we are to worship and praise Him in all of our activities, and we are to demonstrate His love through us towards others, and we are to proclaim His name. But we also have to have a relationship on a horizontal basis with others. And so we said the opposite of stealing. What is the opposite of stealing? The opposite of stealing is giving. And so remember, these are the shall nots. The shall, if we were to reverse this, thou shalt be generous. Thou shalt be giving. And so one of the things that we need to cultivate, and for some of us it's easier than others, we need to have that generous spirit so that we have enough of what we own that we can give to others out of our surplus. And we know that God has blessed us when we have a surplus, when we have something that we can give to others and help others. And so that's why when you go to a church, you want to see that the worship of God is something that is proclaimed from the pulpit, and that you come in the worship service. It truly is worshiping God, not just giving us a good feel. But the second thing you want to see when you go into a church is you want to see a giving attitude. And so you want to see, are they helping people within the church who need the help? Are they helping people outside the church who need the help? Giving generously or acting favorably to others. Remember Zacchaeus? The first thing Zacchaeus said, he said, behold, Lord, half my possessions I give to the poor. He had a surplus. He had a lot of things. And he was willing to give half to the poor to help those people in his community who needed the stuff that he had accumulated. And so the question is, again, how do we protect ourselves from the sin of stealing? And what I'm telling you is that we need to practice the opposite of stealing. We have to practice being forthright in our dealings with others. We have to work faithfully at what we've been given to work so that we may have a surplus, that we may live comfortably, not only meeting our needs, but also meeting some of our wants. And we're working faithfully so that God's name would be honored by how it is that we work and how we live in our community. And fourthly, by acting favorably towards others, by giving to those in need and helping those people who need our help. If we do all of these things, we will honor God by not doing what Satan wants us to do, but by doing what God wants us to do. Shall we close in prayer? Heavenly Father, we know that you are a God who's given us commandments, and you've given us things for us to live by. But Lord, we also know that you've given us instructions and ways of living in an honoring way to you, and living in such a way in which we can be faithful to you by not stealing what is not ours. And Lord, we pray that you continue to watch over us as we close out our worship time today. Lord, in thy name, amen.